Dennis will kick us off here. It's a little eerie. There's a good quiet, and there's an eerie quiet. Appreciate that. That's great. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Just another day that you have given, but a day that we come together and we gather together in your name because of your work. And as we think particularly this morning just about the task of training the next generation and pouring in the truth, Lord, we know there's so much involved in that. And of course, it is primarily at work in the homes of those who are in the church, and yet we love as the church to be a supporting role and to equip and to teach. And we thank you so much for those whose hearts are bent that way, and it's just so encouraging to see. And so, Lord, help us just as we just really review certain things and just talk about just these principles and guidelines. And Lord, help us just to be able to be encouraged and to grasp what we need to press on and be even more faithful, more diligent in the task at hand. So we ask you to guide our time this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here this morning, just as we, again, talk about just what our children's ministry looks like, whether you're a parent or whether you're a volunteer or both. We're thankful just for this opportunity. And again, thank you for just your time and coming this morning. Like I mentioned last week, this is just nice practice for when we start our Sunday school next week. So this is just a practice week as well. So again, Sunday school will kick off next week, and then all of our kids' classes, and we'll have one adult class in here as well. So just wanted to begin just by thanking all the volunteers. Again, whether you have kids in the children's ministry or not, we're just so appreciative of all who serve in that way. There's just no way that's going to happen apart from the body stepping up into those roles. So thank you so much for just being on that rotation. Of course, from the very beginning, we've tried, not the very beginning was a lot of folks serving multiple weeks, but since that phase, we have tried to make it where someone doesn't end up kind of in the children's ministry penitentiary, where you're in there, you're serving your time, and you're in there week in and week out, and you're just never a part of the corporate worship with the body, and that's going to be a detriment to one's soul. We don't want that. We want to do whatever we can to not have that happen. I know churches do it differently. Some do a month rotation, and great, that's definitely we see churches do that, and that's perfectly fine. We've just chosen to do this kind of rotation. So thank you. It takes everyone. It takes everyone. We have different seasons of life. We have just a continual cycle of new life being born into the world, and so that's a big season of life, of course. That is it's all part of how we come up with the rotation and where people can slot in. So again, just a thank you for that. We're just going to go over just a couple, again, just really, it's probably things you've heard before, but it's been a couple years. I think it's been 2 years at least since we've kind of gotten together. And just right before we kick off a Sunday school into the summer, there's probably some folks who are serving the last 2 years. I know there are, who started to serve in the last couple of years, who probably haven't been just a part of the meeting. And this will be, well, we'll have time for your questions as well. So not just statements to you, but opportunity for questions. So you'll get some. You've got some specifics based on the classes that you volunteer in. So there's some specifics there that we'll cover some of those things this morning. So I'm just going to hit some of the general things and then pass it off to Yvette, who heads up all of those things with our children's ministry. So just it's a note on all of the classes. If you are a volunteer, so I know it's probably a pretty gray area of, hey, what kind of behavior is kind of just normative for children's classes, and what might get to a point of being too disruptive and too distracting for what needs to happen in the class. That's a gray area, right? It's probably not easy for me to articulate some sort of line where that is. And so just give you some principles on that, because this is important. Obviously, as the classes get larger, there can't be things that are happening that are continually taking away from the dynamic of the class, and perhaps even more things taking place in those classes that could be even harmful to other children. So clearly, those type of things, throwing things, hitting, all sorts of stuff like that. Certainly, how a child responds to kind of instruction on those things is a big factor. But if there isn't a response repeated in those manners, that is probably a time to go ahead and get the parent. You can even call the parent involved, text the parent, and all the numbers should be there at that point. Also, just maybe even verbal, if there's kind of verbal, we'll call it, defiance continually after not receiving instruction on such things, but continually pushing back, not doing what one is told. That'd be another thing, because we don't have the classroom capacity to do one-on-one. We don't have that. And so if it's turning into that multiple times in the class, that is a time to go ahead and call the parent. You shouldn't look at that as some sort of, oh no, we didn't do what we needed to in the class, or oh, we should have been able to handle. No, this is an opportunity for the parents. This is a great opportunity. And let me tell you something, there's normal things there, okay? That's kind of a normal phase kids go through, and they try to find their place in the class and things like that. So that's a conversation that should be happening in certain cases. And then the other part would be upon pickup. So there might be not things that don't cross those lines, but there might be things just to inform parents of. And parents, you make it easier on the volunteers when you ask. Maybe you're working on things at home and you think it might spill over into the classroom. Hey, we're working on this at home. How'd that go today? That's a great question. Again, that's not something that is admitting some sort of massive failure in your home. That's actually wonderfully encouraging that's taking place, and that you're asking about those types of things. So that's a two-way kind of thing that volunteers, feel free to give constructive feedback. Again, parent, that's helpful. It's helpful for parents. And parents, go ahead and seek out constructive feedback. And so if you have a two-way street there, we'll be in great shape. Just one thing we're going to implement just at the beginning, starting next week, and it's not something that's going to be incredibly paradigm shifting, but Pearson Good is going to just kind of do maybe a round or two during the service and just check in. So if you see him peeking into your room, if you're serving in there, he's supposed to be doing that. We told him to do that. So he's going to be checking on things. So if that's a time when you say, wow, I think we are at the point of needing maybe a parent, you can flag him and he can do it in that time. Okay. And just he may be checking in afterwards. Hey, how'd it go today? So it's just another layer of being able to check on things of how things are. We always want that kind of feedback, and we know just the hustle and bustle after church, you're not always able to give that. And then are you gonna remember to send some sort of message on Monday or Tuesday to somebody and say, hey, just wanted to kind of let you know what was taking place. So this is just another opportunity just for us to get some feedback on that. So that'll be taking place starting next week. Again, you don't need to know anything about that other than that's going to happen. And if you need any assistance, and you see Pearson walking around, grab. That's great. Afterwards, here's something that has been going better, but we can still make some improvement on. Pickup. So we really want, here's what we want for the volunteers. Obviously, the service ends. That's kind of when that part is over. But they also have a cleanup kind of procedure. It's not something that's going to take a half hour, but it's still going to be some time invested there. So if they're waiting around 15 or 20 minutes to release the last kid in some of those classes, it's hard to start cleaning up until every child is dismissed. So if they're waiting 15, 20 minutes to even start that, well, now they're sequestered back in the classes for maybe up to a half hour. That's what we want. We don't want that. We don't want that at all. So if you have children in those classes, please go get them. Send one parent immediately, and then you come back and go ahead and fellowship. Of course, we don't want you to think you have to exit the building just because that. Just we do want to get those classes kind of starting in the shutdown procedures. We want to get that going as fast as possible. And if you serve in there, you know that, hey, there's some tasks to do, and Yvette will talk about some of that as well. When you pick up, here's just something that we've highlighted a couple times this year, and just I think this is another opportunity to do that, another helpful opportunity. You're in charge. When you pick up your child, you're in charge of your child. So what we've asked is if you have any kids in those ages of pickup, any kids in the ages of our classes, please, 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 after the service, that you need to be in the same room as there. They don't need to be running around in different rooms of the church, including in the fellowship hall, without you present. You're in charge at that point. You're in charge the entire time, but you're definitely in charge upon pickup. So just a couple examples. I've seen some very interesting things the past couple months. I've seen a lot of banging and playing up here after service. I even saw an amazing run. It was an incredible run, but probably a little dangerous, on top of the tables in there. It was impressive. I will tell you that from an athletic perspective. Very impressive. Very unhelpful, though, for that child's safety and the safety of others around. I wouldn't call those tables the most sturdy tables that you can buy. And they're not made for running, obviously, especially on top of. Okay, so just a couple of things that just to illustrate why this is going to be kind of important to do. So you're in charge. And so if you're seeing something like that, here's what I'd recommend. Probably no reason to address the child unless there's something immediately like, oh, no, this is going to happen right now. Go get the parent. That's your best play. Go get the parent who's probably having a great time. Fellowship is great. We love that. But again, all this is training. This whole thing, all this is an opportunity for training. You're going to need, I guarantee, when you go to a department store, you're not letting your kid run around in different sections where you don't know where they are and what they're doing. I guarantee that. So I would say use the same principle. Just it's an opportunity for training, for shepherding your children. So after service, you need to be in the same room. If your kids are the ages that are in our classes, you need to be in the same room as them, or you could word it the other way. They need to be in the same room as you, just because you're the parent. Okay, so you're in charge of that. We are going to make a change starting next week. So we contemplated the idea of adding a new class, and just we realized that was going to be just some older ages above the 9-year-olds for the second hour, and realized that's going to be a little challenging, too challenging for a rotation to happen. It wouldn't have been a very large rotation. It would have been just a couple couples probably being in that class. So what we're going to do is we're going to move the first hour class that's taught by Steve and Pearson, we're going to move that class, the whole class, both hours, is going to end up in the fellowship hall. We're going to try it out, and we're going to see if there's some competition in noise, for first hour or second hour. We'll figure out how to maybe do some dividers and things like that, but we're going to try it out to see how that works. So the first hour, Steve and Pearson's class, will be in the fellowship hall. And then the second hour, 7 to 9-year-old class will be in the fellowship hall, which means, you know, what's in there right now. Second hour is an overflow. This summer, that has not been needed. I think if you've looked around, there's seats in here. So we will move that. We'll make that available. I know sometimes, hey, you got kids and it's different dynamics that week or things, and you need a place to go. That's you know, you got to get them out of the service and go to someplace. So we will have that. So basically, it's going to swap, so that whatever is being used for the overflow right now is going to be in that classroom up off the lobby. That will be the overflow room. All right, so that class, so both hours, the way that room is used will now be, starting next week, will be in the fellowship hall, okay? That side of the fellowship hall. And then just afterwards, obviously, that's very important to kind of pick up your kids, because we do want that to be kind of a fellowship area. So, you know, the mixing of that is going to get a little confusing. So if you could definitely get your kids there, that'd be excellent. Last thing for me, and then I'll pass it off to Yvette. So I sent a message out just as we, we're a little over a year in this building, and we've still probably made a few changes since then about some of how the rooms kind of work, especially the little rooms, most particularly the nursing mom's room in an infant room. I think recently when we sent that out, I still think that was a new idea, the infant room, to some people. Like, oh, wow, we have an infant room. Yes. Yes, we have an infant room. Yes, there are volunteers who are in that infant room. So just to kind of recap that, and then I'll pause for any questions, and they'll hand it off to Yvette. But so nursing moms, obviously, I'm not sure how to get more specific. It's for nursing moms. it's for nursing moms. Now, here's what we got to clarify. There are some children who nurse who are mobile. So that is not a playroom, though. And here's why that's so important. Because of what I already mentioned this morning, we have a continual cycle of new life being born into this world and being born into this church. And so that needs to be available for moms who are nursing and really have to kind of, nurse kids to sleep, whatever like that. But so that's not, hey, nurse and then let your child play on the floor the rest of the time in there. That's not the room for that. That would be for the infant room. Okay, so if you need a nurse, great, nursing moms, that fits. But that's not a playroom because we need the space for the moms who are nursing little ones and they're immobile. Okay, so once your child is any mobile in any way, crawling, scooting, whatever, that's not the spot for that. We got to reserve that. Okay, so after you nurse, there's an infant room, or if it's a certain week that you need to keep the child with you, the overflow would be fine as well for that. Okay, and then there is an infant room that has volunteers. You can drop off your infant, and then another new discovery for some is that beyond the infant room, so it's on the far side of the building, the windows on the outside are part of this room, there's cribs and a rocker, so you can put your infant to sleep in that room, and then one of those volunteers can alert you if your child wakes up, something like that. So infant room and the crib room is straight that way in the middle of the children's area, okay, back there. So that's how those rooms are intended to function as we try to hit all these different ages and dynamics of child rearing. So I think that's it for my segment. So any questions on that? If you have other questions, save them till the end. We'll give opportunity. They may be covered by Yvette here coming up. Any questions about what I covered? Yes, sorry. Nicole. No reason to apologize. Okay. Please. Okay.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to make a comment as far as pickup goes, and I know that you had touched on this. Once you've picked up your child, that you're responsible for them, and you should be in the same room as them.
Yeah.
I know that sometimes in serving, we're in the 7 to 9 year old room, and those kids are a lot more responsible. So a lot of times we forget, that they're not running around like toddlers. Sometimes parents will pick them up, and then kind of go, okay, I've made eye contact with them. We've picked them up, but the child will come then back into the classroom because there's still an adult in there.
Gotcha.
And you're like, wait a second, I thought you were already picked up. How did you make it back in here? And where is mom now? I know we made contact, but
yes,
now you're back in here with me.
Excellent.
So making sure that once they are picked up, and I know that's hard because there's still some friends in the classroom, that they don't come back in the classroom. And another, one other thing on that is that parents actually do have to pick up, not siblings. And I know that, that's tempting for me as well with an older child, but that it does have to be parents because the siblings cannot be held responsible for where they're running. So just those were my only comments on that. And question, when we are doing the 7 to 9 year olds in the fellowship hall, will there still be the live stream going? Because there won't be. There be? No?
Okay. Well, you can talk to the volunteers if they want it to be. It's not won't affect us.
I know that sometimes the kids, I personally think that might be helpful for them to see, because often we'll say, Pastor Matt is praying or Pastor Philip is praying, right? And for them to be able to have a visual, but also for them to be able to join in with worship because they do enjoy singing. And I know that sometimes when we were in the other building, we'd have them go out into the lobby area just to hear the singing and join in and then take them back. So I feel like that would be a great opportunity for them.
We'd be very, very open to that. Absolutely. It wouldn't affect anything that happens in here. So it'd only affect, someone would have to probably be, working the volume. But that's not a bad idea. Just know what's going on and kind of know your time. That's not a bad idea at all. Thank you, Nicole. Yeah, regarding the first one, great, great thoughts there. That's right. But think about. I think the principle we talked about covers that. So your child can't be in the room unless the parent. So if the parent's walking back in, okay, we're covering the principle. But now, hey, could you please exit so we could clean up the room? But that what you highlighted is okay. The parent isn't with the child, so that's the ultimate issue there. So there's the pickup, and then kind of okay. I'm on duty. I'm caring now for my job. I'm responsible. So yeah. So that just again the motive is this the cleaning up procedure. We want our volunteers to be able to do that as quickly as possible and to have some fellowship. I mean, they have ideally right. They're getting there. We'd like our volunteers to get there 10:15 because parents are wanting to drop off because we say hey try to get into the service on time. Well, there's got to be some steps to that. Hey, all right, so we try to shoot for 10:15. So you go 10:15, and then if you're not getting out of there till 12:30, as you can do the math, it's over a two-hour slot there. That's not what we're trying to shoot for. So we want to get their cleanup procedure. They've served that day. We want to get them get their room cleaned up, and then they can shut the door and exit. And they know no one is in there then undoing what has been done because they're trying to do the cleanup procedure. So great thought there. Yes, very important. So yes, it's removal. It is pickup and removal. Pickup and because that playtime has to be over for that because we have to get that room kind of set for the next week. All right. So thank you. Those are great, great, great things. Did I hear someone else? No. Okay. Anybody else on that? All right. I bet. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Matt, for that opening and for all of those great reminders. So I'm Yvette Reyes, and I have the privilege of overseeing the children's ministry. And it is just super humbling to be able to watch the children grow in the Lord and to see all that you all as parents are teaching at home and that we get to reinforce on Sundays. It's very encouraging to see how eager they are when we are learning a familiar story and being able to answer the questions or fill in the stories or sometimes tell the whole story before we even get to it. So it's great. And then it's also so nice to see their desire to want to pray. So sometimes for snack time, we'll ask for volunteers of the kids that will pray for the snack, and we'll get four or five hands that shoot up in the air. And I let them all pray because why not? It's so great to see them, learning that and wanting to talk to the Lord and just to be able to encourage that and to teach them through that. So that is just a wonderful privilege and humbling experience for all of us, for all of our teachers, to be able to teach the children. I do want to thank, as well as Pastor Matt, as he was saying, a lot of our volunteers serve in several ministries. So we have, people that are serving in the sound booth, people that are serving in security, people that are serving in the cleaning crew, house hosts for Bible studies. So we have individuals that are serving in multiple ministries, and we are so grateful for that. So I just want to, extend a gratitude to that. And I would, just say that this one as well is just so important just because we are developing and helping, coming alongside the parents and teaching the children and how important that role is. So I do learn a lot from our teachers. I do want to especially thank Nicole because she does a great job of helping me oversee the 7 to 9-year-old class. And so I have learned so much from her and just hearing about her experience. And I know that she's a great support to the teachers in that class. So I just wanted to thank you, Nicole, for that. And I'll be sharing a lot of, the tips that I've learned from other teachers. But I also think that you are a great resource for one another on what works well. If there's something that you're struggling with in the class, maybe asking another teacher, hey, how do you deal with this, or how do you work around this? And Nicole has been such a great great help in that, and I know in sharing a lot of the things that work really well for her in the classroom. So thank you so much, Nicole. And I welcome anything that you would like to chime in this morning as well. So we have been doing the Generations of Grace curriculum in the classroom now for over a year. We're in book 3, so going into year 3, and they have actually changed the curriculum. So it now, this is the book that you all are familiar with, and now these are the books that they have. They're hard copy. The formatting is a little bit different. The content is pretty similar. It's the same, but the actual format of the book is now a hard copy book. There are still three books, so the curriculum is going through 3 years, so Old Testament for year one and two, and year three is New Testament. This is the curriculum that we are going to be or continuing to do in the 5 to 6 year old class and in the 7 to 9 year old class. So I just want to share too that in those classes, second hour, it is not straight Bible study. So our straight Bible study for our kids is first hour, so 9 o'clock. That's Mr. Pearson's class, Mr. Steve's class, and then the older teenage children that are with Chena and that are with Mr. Kaufman, Steve Kaufman and Rick Bale for the boys. So that is a straight hour of Bible study. In second hour, we do have Bible teaching. We do have memory verse. This curriculum also comes with music, so there are specific music that we can begin incorporating, and I know we've started incorporating in the 7 to 9 class. And there's also playtime, there's also snack time, bathroom time. So the hour, the time for second hour is filled with other things, not just straight Bible study. Straight Bible study is first hour. We do have dedicated helpers for the first hour. So even in the lower classes, we are gonna have the same helpers that are helping in the first hour, because that frees up volunteers to be able to help in the second hour. That's where we need the most help, is second hour. We do only have one service, so like Pastor Matt was saying, we don't want to bog somebody down to where they're missing corporate worship, because that's not the purpose of this either. So that's where we have a 5 to 6 week rotation in our second hour classes. So with this curriculum, it does require preparation. So there is nothing in this curriculum that you straight read to the children. It is designed so that the teacher can learn the lesson and then be able to explain it to their age-appropriate class, right? So they're able to, the book is designed for the teacher to read through the lesson and understand the lesson to be able to then share it with the children. They have a lot of great tools to help with this. So there are video teaching tips through the Grace Media app. There is, in this one, they did a lot, in the new one, they've done a lot of great things where they have actual outlines for preparation, so preparation outlines of what you're taking away from the story, and then teaching outlines of how you're going to present it to the students. So it gives you a little bit more tools on how to prepare for the class. So we're really excited about this. We will start this next quarter, which will be in October, so October, November, December. So for this quarter, for this month of September, we'll continue to finish where we're at in the Generations of Grace, and then we'll start fresh again with the new curriculum. But there are a lot of teaching tips that I want to make sure that you guys take advantage of. So that Grace Media app and the new outlines that they have in the book are just helpful. Again, it does take time to prepare. So I want you to just really understand the privilege that we have in being able to teach our kids. And so I really want to just emphasize just that time of preparation is so important. Even though the class does have different activities that we're doing during that second hour, I do want to just emphasize that to our teachers that we want to make sure we're doing a dedicated Bible story time. So as far as their attention, we want to make sure that we have their attention. So if that's like a half circle, if that's sitting in a, you know, on the floor, but dedicated attention time for the story. It's really important that we do that, just because that's teaching our children reverence, right? Reverence for the Bible, reverence for the Lord. And so having that dedicated time is very, very important. This curriculum is not meant, again, there is nothing that you read, and it does, one lesson can cover several chapters. So it's also not intended for you to read straight through a couple of chapters, right? So, you know, even Pastor Matt on Sunday mornings doesn't read through, straight chapters to us, right? He breaks it down for us. And for our kids, we need to do that as well. We need to be able to break down the lesson at their understanding so that they're grasping what the topic is, what the takeaway is. And all of these lessons always point back to Christ. All of the Old Testament stories, they all point back to Christ. So making sure that we are emphasizing that to them. It's also important for them to see us using our Bible. So during that story time, maybe not reading from our phones, right? But actually taking our Bible and really showing them, where is this story? Is it in the Old Testament? Is it in the New Testament? What do the numbers mean? Chapter, verses? And showing them how to use the table of contents, right? If they don't know, you know, how to find the story. And I find that to be just really engaging and just basic review of Bible teaching. So that's really important. This curriculum, it also shows you what the lesson was before and what the next week's lesson will be. So that's also really important to kind of point out to the kids. This curriculum will show you how to do that in teaching them how it all connects. So what did you learn last week? And asking them questions to see what did they retain from the week before so that you incorporate that in the teaching of your current week. We also have great, with this curriculum, we have great activities, so coloring sheets, activity sheets, as well as craft ideas. And we know that some of our older kids, maybe the craft isn't appropriate for that age in certain circumstances, but they really do enjoy the activity sheet. So we've been able to do like fill in the blanks, and it just reinforces the lesson and reinforces what we're trying to teach them. So this will come with a lot of additional resources that you can use in your class time. And maybe they don't take something away with them. Maybe they don't have a craft that they take with them, but maybe it's just an activity that you're doing in the class to help them teach and reinforce the lesson. So there doesn't always have to be a paper that they go home with, although that can be helpful, but just so you are aware of that as well. If you need to make copies or extra copies, you know, let me know. We can make sure that, I don't want that to be a barrier if you don't have access to making those copies, we can make those for you. And then also if you see that the class is bigger than what you've prepared for, we can make copies for you here as well. So just make sure you let us know. All of these things that I'm going through, we have guidelines that we have printed out. I actually don't have it with me, but they're in the back. So those guidelines are for you to take home. It's a lot of helpful guidelines for parents, for children's ministry. We also have in the classroom, we have instructions that are posted on the wall for closing procedure and also to just kind of let you know how to prepare for the class. One of the things in the closing procedure that I definitely want to add is just making sure that the class is prepared for the next Sunday. So in the closing procedures, we talk about, you know, taking out the garbage, making sure that the garbage is taken out at the end of class and taken out to one of the bigger receptacles, either in the lobby or in the kitchen. We talk about wiping down tables, making sure that the changing pads are all clean and wiped down. But I would also like to make sure that you guys are refilling the snacks and the water. So if there is, if you've run out of snacks for the class or if we need to refill for the following week, if you all could do that. And our snacks are kept in the 3-4 classroom, which is back here in this corner, in the cabinets in that classroom. So that is really helpful if you guys could prepare for the next week and just make it easier on all of the volunteers. But just making sure that, yes, the classrooms are in order, they're vacuumed, the toys are in place. And again, as Pastor Matt was saying, that's hard to do when we have kids running in and out and taking toys out as we're putting them away. So that's why it's just very important, just so we leave everything in order and ready for the following week. The other thing is that if you do use the changing tables after the classrooms have been cleaned up, we just ask the parents to please take that garbage to a bigger receptacle after use. And let me see, I think I've gone over everything that I wanted to go over, emphasizing again the arrival of the class of the helpers and teachers at 10:15, no later than 10:15. 10:15 should be the latest, just because that gives parents a time to come into fellowship, to come into the worship service. But I don't want parents dropping kids off to an empty classroom. And if the teachers aren't there, it really is hard to be, you know, overseeing several classrooms that have kids and there's no teachers there. So we really want to make sure that the parents are waiting for the teachers to come to the classroom to be in place before they drop off their kids. But it really depends on those volunteers to get there on time. So I definitely want to open it up to questions if anybody has any questions. Yes, please. The mic.
Sorry, just another comment about just the classrooms. I think, as you were saying with the first hour, it's the same teachers in there for the first hour,
yes.
Correct? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times they have classroom rules, they have their, you know, classroom management style, and it's very consistent for the children. But during second hour, because there's a rotation, and also remembering that some of the children move up mid-year from, you know, they might be in one classroom with a rotation of five different couples, and then they're moving to another classroom with a rotation, you know. Mm-hmm. Just that you get with the other volunteers for that age group and really set, know what the standards are and set those before the children, set the expectations before them and the rules ahead of time. So, for example, like if there's a child who's acting up or they're talking during the lesson and you're coming up with a consequence on the fly, it doesn't always work and you do get a lot more pushback than if you set those expectations, just like with anything else. So I'll give an example, like if you're talking during the lesson, you're going to come and sit next to me, right? So that they understand when that happens and the consequence happens, it's not just punitive, but also there's no conversation about it either. We've already set the standard of what's going to happen. They know what to expect. And I feel like that's really important for classroom management when you're switching between, you know, six couples, that they're not getting a different version of rules each week that they're trying to figure out. So.
Right. Thank you, Nicole. Yes, definitely. So even though there is a rotation of teachers, right, and it is going to be different the way everybody, different teaching styles and class management, but there are some things that should be consistent. And so we do, so that is one for sure, is just making sure we're setting those expectations for the kids. But then also we do have a schedule. It is a tentative schedule in each class that kind of breaks down the time for second hour for the teacher to follow. It doesn't have to be to a T, but it is a guide that helps and kind of shows you week to week the things that they're doing and how, you know, an order that they should be doing it in. So thank you, Nicole. Yeah, I think that is very, very important. I did also want to add to, with as part of that schedule for the kids, we do have a dedicated bathroom time. So the kids are taken as a class to the bathroom, which is great. We want to make sure that parents are still taking them to the bathroom before class, though, because we do have, you know, instances where the child comes to the class, it's just started, and they need to go to the restroom. So we do have a dedicated bathroom time, but we do ask for the parents to please take their child to the bathroom before class. And we also want to make sure that it is happening with both teachers. We don't want to leave any male teachers behind alone in the class with kids, just for, you know, just for protections for the church, for the children. And so we do want to make sure that those couples are going together for that dedicated time. So thank you, Nicole, for that. Yes, Carrie.
I know it's on the sheet, though, but I know sometimes, especially in the 18-month class, it's very difficult to remember which kid has their own snack, and I know, like, even if the parent tells you, 30 minutes later, I might not remember. Which, is there any way, either on the roster sheet or a special label, that we could just view and say, okay, this person has their own snack, this one's okay? Because sometimes it's hard to remember.
Yes, absolutely. So we can do labels. We do have labels in the classroom that we can put on the child that says, you know, I have my own snack, or that they have a snack, and to be able to identify that. So yes, we can do that, because there are children that come with their own snacks, their own cups. We want to make sure that the cups are also labeled with the child's names. We have beautiful tags that that Madison made for us that we can put on the bags of the children, because I know that sometimes gets a little chaotic as whose bag is whose. So making sure that we're labeling the bags too as they're getting dropped off to the class, for sure.
I know with certain ages, it's hard when the parents stay, right? Like, you know, you kind of just need to leave. Is that something you'd want across the board, that parents just bring their children and then, you know, are getting their seats and having time to get into the corporate worship service?
Yes, absolutely. So staying in the classroom is, for a parent with their child, is not ideal, right? So we do know that sometimes we have new children that, you know, the parent wants to, you know, check out, see what's going on, see where they're dropping off their child, and that's fine. But yes, if it's, we don't want parents to be staying in the classroom with their child for an extended period of time. The classroom is really meant for those volunteers who have already gone through the process to be a teacher. So they've gone through a background check. They are able to be there. And so we don't want the parents staying there for an extended period of time. Yes, sometimes we know that the children have a hard time at the beginning, especially if they're new to the church, new to the environment, where they're going to be crying. That is normal. And so, yes, if we can just kind of take the child, you know, do all that we can as teachers and helpers to calm them down. And if we can't, you know, after a reasonable period of time, then we would call the parent back and let them know, you know, today's not working out, but, you know, let's try again next Sunday. But yes, thank you, Lindsay. That's a good point. So yes, so being able to tell the parents, yes, we'll take your child, we'll call you if we need you, is good. Any other questions? Hi. They're coming to you, Lucy.
I just had a question on if you, let's say somebody does need to go to the bathroom during second hour, so you don't want all of us to go to the bathroom with the whole class, obviously, because that's only during first hour that happens.
No, bathroom time, second hour as well.
Okay.
The class should go as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well then just for the purposes of my question, let's say the whole class has gone.
Okay.
But somebody needs to go outside of that time.
Yes.
Ideally,
okay, so ideally it's addressing children that need to go to the restroom after the whole class has already gone. So you can notify one of our ushers.
Okay.
And they can stand in the classroom with the other teacher, with the other helper, and then while ideally in your case the female teacher takes the child to the bathroom, that would be the best route.
Yeah.
So yeah, flagging down one of the ushers. They do, well, at least security does do rounds, and they can get someone to come stand in there while you take the child to the restroom.
Yeah. And the same for if you needed a parent to mm-hmm. address a discipline issue, let's say the parent doesn't respond. Should we flag down an usher in that case and go find the parent, or just?
Yes, so this will also be Pearson's role too, that
okay.
second hour, where yes, you can flag him down, he can help to try to get the parent's attention, yes. You can always text me as well, so my phone number is also on the roster on the wall, and so I have my phone, you know, next to me during service so that if, it, you know, anybody does need something or need help, then I'm also available to go back there and assist with that.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, just because I always text you. To make sure that is that the right thing to do, or should we be
sure.
trying to do an usher first?
So either way, okay. So if you see an usher, definitely flag them down. If you're having an issue, you're not, you know, you can't leave your classroom obviously unattended to go find an usher, then you can definitely text me and I can help in that situation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I also did want to touch on one more thing in regards to toys. I know a lot of kids like to bring toys to church on Sundays, so we do just ask that they not bring their toys to the classroom just because there's been instances where the toy gets lost. You know, they maybe they're not good with sharing the toy. So we just want to make sure that just toys from home don't come to the classroom just because it can complicate things. So. Any other questions, or are my teachers out there as well? Is there anything that you would like to add? I know some of you have spoken up, so that's great. But is there anything that you would like to add that would be helpful? Yes, Rita. Rita Scott.
How many books are going to be available? Is it just one copy,
Thank you. Is
it going to be online?
Yes. So we actually have a copy of these hard books that'll be in each of the classrooms. And then we're going to be copying off the lessons for each of the teachers. And so you'll have the copy of your lesson for that week, which actually, thank you for bringing that up because it brings up more. With the lessons, we, so with our 7 to 9 class, it's worked the best because we have a closed group of volunteers that help out. And so they are, it works really good. So if somebody has to miss, they kind of let, you know, switch among their group of volunteers. And they already have the curriculum, so they know, okay, I'm switching my lesson for that week. We have that a little bit in the 5 to 6 class as well. So those are things that we just need to consider, that if you are switching, if you are not able to serve on the date that you're scheduled, that you're letting that teacher know as well, that you need to switch that lesson so that they prepare, you know, for the proper lesson. But we will make sure that we get all of these copies out to you all in this coming month so that you're prepared and have seen it and are ready for October, for starting the lessons in October. But we will have a hard copy book in each of the classrooms. All right, so again, we have our children's ministry outline. I thought I didn't have it. In the back, it's so that all of our parents and teachers can just follow the rules that are in there, primarily about sickness. So if you could just make sure that you review that and that you're protecting our children, our body, whenever there's sickness in your home. And then we also have again, a lot of what we reviewed today, we have posted in the classroom in regards to, you know, instructions on how to schedule the class and or the close down procedures and things like that. And another big thing, too, is just making sure we take attendance. So that's something that's fairly new that's been incorporated. But we do see that it gets forgotten to be completed at times, but making sure we're taking attendance every Sunday of the children that are in the class. All right. We're good. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Yvette. I am completely overwhelmed by what you keep in your head about such things. So I thank you so much for constantly and consistently just overseeing all of what goes on. And thank you so much for your questions and wow, really, really helpful things. And you know, I can tell that you're just wanting to be faithful, wanting to, for the classes to go as efficiently as they can, and knowing that there's going to be always some interesting situations. We're dealing with kids who are growing up and maturing, and so there's always going to be things to think through. So thank you for that. And always, if you have feedback, and all of the things this morning were just so excellent, just to hear about and just be able to respond to. But you, if you're seeing things and you're thinking, hey, you know, I think this is a you know, could be a better way to do it, or hey, I might see a gap here. Here's a way to maybe resolve that. You know, that type of feedback is great. We know there's going to be preferences whenever you're going to be serving and getting put into a situation. You might have your preferences. You might have your experiences in the past, and you, hey, I liked doing this. So we know so many of you are kind of coming under our system of children's ministry, and we so appreciate that. However, we don't want that to stifle helpful feedback that would be a benefit to our ministry as well. So we know that that can be a balance and a line there. So we know, you know, as Christians, we don't want to just stand on our own preferences. But if you're seeing, hey, I see these things taking place, and I have some experience that I think we could, you know, provide some direction here or shore this up here, that's helpful. That's helpful. The worst thing that's going to happen to that is, hey, that's a great idea, but probably not right now. That's like the worst thing that you might get in response to that. Hey, thanks for that idea. It is actually good. We will probably have to think about that for the future. So just that'll be the hardest part of that for you. So thank you again just for all the ways you think through that, the preparation. We know this is a major part of just serving in the church, especially the gathering, right? And so if you talk to just, you know, my friends who are pastors, and just, you know, when they start out, it's like, wow, I didn't know children's ministry was going to be so difficult to think through. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. There's a lot. And it's very important. It's very important at all. And it's volunteers, it's kids, it's policies, it's all sorts of things. So thank you for your patience. I know so many of you have served for years now in that. And so, yeah, you've seen changes as well. And I know it's probably it's sometimes been hard to keep up with some of the changes. So thank you for your flexibility in that. So let me just close this. We got a little bit of extra fellowship time this morning. Lord, we do thank you for this time, and just we thank you for those who serve and just serve tirelessly and often thanklessly as well, just serving the children in these hours and wanting just to provide teaching and even opportunities for parents to receive teaching as well. And so we're thankful, Lord, for what you have done, and yet there's always ways to think through it in a more efficient way and even to stir up others who may be willing to serve as well. So, Lord, we just ask you continue to keep your hand upon this part of our ministry, and that you would guide us and just give the strength for the task at hand. So, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for just the wonderful feedback and questions. And, Lord, we just ask for your blessing upon the rest of our fellowship time this morning together. And we pray all these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Thanks again for being here this morning.